Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A distraught family is searching for answers after a young mother was gunned down on her front porch. We're live near that scene with what neighbors are saying.
And this afternoon, we're looking at 83 for the high. Tomorrow will be 20 degrees cooler. I'll show you how long the cool air will stick around.
Plus, protesters are gathering in downtown Raleigh right now to end what it calls the U.S.-backed genocide going on in the Middle East as we look live at the crowd gathering in Moore Square.
Knightdale police are looking at investigating a murder that took the life of a young mother. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This happened on Twain Town Road last night in Knightdale. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan just spoke with people who live there and joins us with their reaction. Chelsea.
Renee, this all happened last night in the Wide Waters neighborhood. That's directly off of Knightdale Boulevard. And neighbors that I talked to last night say they heard more than 10 gunshots. And it was gunfire that was so intense. Many of these neighbors say they could hear it from blocks away. We do know when our crews were at the scene last night, they counted 60 different evidence markers that police were putting out. Now, Knightdale police say a 40-year-old woman was shot and killed on her front porch of her home. That was late Wednesday night around 8 o'clock. They responded to a report of shots being fired on the 600 block of Twain Town Drive. Now, Knightdale's police chief Lawrence Capp said when they arrived, they found a woman who was dead directly on her front porch. EMS tried to save her life, but they were unsuccessful. Now, I just spoke to the police department. They say right now they have no suspects in custody, no person of interest. But what's interesting is they also say right now there's no ongoing threat to the public. They say they're working a multitude of leads. Right now, we are still awaiting the identity of that female victim. Renee.
Chelsea Donovan reporting from the Knightdale Police Department. Thanks.
We could tie a record high today, but tomorrow temperatures will be much cooler. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the big changes as we head toward the weekend, Elizabeth.
I imagine a lot of people will be out there trying to soak in all this warmth before our weather pattern changes tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I thought I'd pull up Chapel Hill. A truck just pulled up right here in front. There's some lovely outdoor seating that's right here on Franklin Street. People up and down, shorts and T-shirts, enjoying these beautiful blue skies. Right now it is 77. We have a southwest wind at 8 miles per hour, which has continued to feed the warmth into our area over the last, well, week or so. Our current temperature is 77 in Fayetteville, 75 in Goldsboro and Roxboro, 75 Southern Pines. So we're sitting in the mid to upper 70s right now and are likely to end up tying that record. 83, our forecast high, that 83 set back in 2005. And then in Fayetteville, 85, and the previous record was set back in 1915. So that one is an old one. So certainly a possibility that we could tie these records. Starting tomorrow, though, we'll begin to see some cooler temperatures and a little bit of rain. I'll show you how much rain we could see. We're definitely in need of rain. The new drought monitor came out and Moore County and Hope County are now under severe drought. I'll show you what's coming that may or may not help our situation coming up.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a child psychologist in Charlotte, David Tatum, was just sentenced to 40 years in prison for creating child pornography using artificial intelligence. Officials say he used secret recordings of his victims to create illicit images and videos of them. He did this between 2016 and 2021. Tatum possessed those images and videos. And on May 4th, a federal jury convicted Tatum on several counts, including possession of child pornography. He is in federal custody right now, and the FBI is investigating.
Turning now to the war in the Middle East, where the White House says Israel will implement four-hour pauses of military operations in areas of northern Gaza each day. During that period, humanitarian assistance will be allowed into the city and civilians can leave the area. Israel also claims forces have captured a Hamas stronghold after a 10-hour battle. Finally, the UN human rights chief says both Hamas and Israel have committed war crimes in the past month.
This morning, protesters gathered in Moore Square to call for an end to American aid to Israel. WRAL's Lawrence Leslie is live where the pro-Palestinian rally is taking place and continues right now.
Jeff, you know, this protest is growing by the minute here. I'm going to step out of the way so photographer Josie Zimmer can show you what's happening. But the protesters here in Moore Square today calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, a full ceasefire, and humanitarian aid for the Palestinian people who've been trapped in Gaza by that Israeli siege. The rally is made of various groups, including a pro-Palestinian group that calls itself Jewish Voice for Peace. They were the leaders of that protest that shut down Highway 147 in Durham last week. So far, this one has been uneventful. Some in the Jewish community have accused this group of being anti-Israel. Just 2 days ago, pro-Israel supporters rallied here in downtown Raleigh, calling on the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas to release the 232 hostages they took during the October 7th attacks on Israel. Those hostages are believed to be being held in Gaza. They say there should be no ceasefire until those hostages are freed. The protesters here say they're going to meet with the office of Congresswoman Deborah Ross at 12:30. They're asking her to sign on to a ceasefire resolution in Congress. So far, only one North Carolinian Congress member has signed that resolution, Representative Alma Adams of Charlotte. Jeff?
Laura Leslie reporting live for us from that rally in downtown Raleigh. Thank you for the update. Transgender Catholics can now be baptized and serve as godparents. Vatican officials posted the document signed by Pope Francis in October. It says a transgender person may receive baptism under the same conditions as other faithful, as long as it does not generate public scandal. The Vatican says transgender people can be godparents and witnesses at religious weddings. During his papacy, Pope Francis has frequently expressed an interest in making the Catholic Church more welcoming to LGBTQ people.
Five Republican presidential candidates clashed during the third GOP debate. They sparred over pressing issues, including abortion access and the war and wars overseas. The candidates also emphasized their differences on domestic issues, including the economy, border security, and combating anti-Semitism on college campuses. The question remains, will any of these Republican candidates be able to topple former President Donald Trump from his frontrunner position? With the third debate in the rearview mirror, the Republican National Committee is revealing new details about the next presidential primary debate. It will take place on December 6th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It will be hosted by News Nation and moderated by Megyn Kelly, Elizabeth Vargas, and Eliana Johnson, editor-in-chief of the Washington Free Beacon. Each candidate must meet polling and fundraising requirements in order to make it on stage. An advisor for Trump says the former president will not attend this debate.
Some scary moments today at East Millbrook Magnet Middle School. The school went into a code red lockdown just before 10 o'clock this morning. The principal sent a letter to parents saying there was a student in distress who was failing to follow directions. They called law enforcement and Wake County Public School Security to de-escalate the situation and returned to Code Green at 10:15. Processing stalled for over an hour at DMV locations statewide due to an online outage this morning. WRL 5 on your side confirmed the outage with Department of Motor Vehicle officials who say they are working to confirm the cause. This is the second statewide outage in a week. A DMV spokesperson said all services were back online by 9 a.m.
3 months after a fire heavily damaged a historic funeral home near downtown Raleigh, crews were spotted demolishing the building. WRL's photojournalists were there as a bulldozer tore down the Leitner Funeral Home. The funeral home served Raleigh's black population during the era of segregation. Flames raced through the building of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Person Street this past summer. Investigators listed the cause as undetermined. Hundreds of families in Raleigh are getting a helping hand as part of Share Day. Employees from Concord Hospitality teamed up with the Salvation Army of Wake County to serve 400 families in the Raleigh community as part of this effort. People lined up before 7 in the morning. In partnership with Feed the Children, each family received a 25-pound box of food, a 15-pound box of hygiene essentials, as well as additional products.
The government's trying to slow down the economy, and unfortunately, I think those efforts hit the people who are neediest first and make them more needy and move more people into trying to live paycheck to paycheck or not making it paycheck to paycheck. So more need now than there has been in the past.
Each box feeds a family of four for a week. This year, Concord Hospitality will serve more than 33,000 meals in Raleigh alone.
Six prominent North Carolinians will be honored tonight with the state's highest civilian honor, the North Carolina Award. CDC Director Dr. Mandy Cohen will be honored for her work on the state's COVID-19 response. She was the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services throughout the pandemic. Former Congressmen G.K. Butterfield and David Price will also be awarded for their years of public service. Butterfield served in Congress for 18 years, Price for 33, and Southern Pines native Patrick Daugherty will be honored for fine arts. He is known for his sculptures at Sandhills Community College and his work this year as the artist in residence for Le Cole French School of Raleigh. Also being honored, Marshall White Warren for literature, Fred Whitfield for public service. Governor Roy Cooper will present the awards tonight at the North Carolina Museum of Art.
Next at noon, a man with a gun near App State University. How police stopped a potential mass shooting in Boone.
Also, what's in the deal? Overnight, Hollywood actors agreed to a deal with studios to get back to work.
And House Republicans subpoena Hunter Biden. At 12:30, what's behind the latest allegations?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Police say the quick actions of a business owner and officers prevented a potential mass shooting in downtown Boone. A 59-year-old man was seen flashing a gun outside a Boone saloon on West King Street on Tuesday. That's right across the campus of Appalachian State University. The man had been asked to leave the bar earlier. That's when he was spotted at his car with a weapon. The bar owner called police and officers responded within minutes.
He asked the boys to ask our door guy if the wallet was in there. So those boys came over and said, hey, that guy's looking for his wallet. And by the way, he has a gun.
Today, police said the man now faces additional charges of possession of a firearm by a felon. The man is due back in court on December 20th.
The actors union SAG-AFTRA voted unanimously on a tentative agreement with the group representing studios and streamers. NBC's Chloe Malas shares what's in the deal.
This morning, Hollywood actors can finally get back to work after an unprecedented 118 days on the picket lines. The actors union announcing late Wednesday that it approved a tentative agreement with the AMPTP, which represents studios and streamers, including NBC News' parent company, Comcast. Actors at a movie premiere Wednesday night were thrilled.
The strike is over.
That's amazing.
You're joking.
Tell me that now.
Let's go.
Other actors taking to social media to share their excitement, including Octavia Spencer, who posted, "Who else is dancing right now?" And actor Kate Walsh, who wrote, "I am in teary awe of my fellow actors and sister unions who fought with all they had."
It is a very big deal, and we are very excited about it. The valuation of this deal comes in at a little bit more than $1 billion over the term of the agreement.
The AMPTP says that this deal represents a new paradigm, including the largest increase in minimum wages in 40 years, a new residual compensation structure for streaming programs, and extensive consent and compensation protections in the use of artificial intelligence. This announcement comes after months of meetings between the union and studios. Fran Drescher, the president of SAG-AFTRA, reflecting on the tense negotiations in an interview with NBC News last month.
It's being driven by people and people that are driven by greed.
The fallout from the longest actor strike in history has been far-reaching. The work stoppage not only hurting actors, but industries like transportation and craft services. The halt in productions has cost California's economy billions of dollars. After more than 13 weeks, the Hollywood ending so many have been hoping for.
As Chloe Malas reporting, the Writers Guild of America ended its separate strike in September after almost 5 months.
Rockefeller Plaza in New York will soon look a lot like Christmas. This year's Christmas tree was cut down this morning in Vestal, New York, and will travel 200 miles to Manhattan. The tree is an 80-year-old Norway spruce. Look at it, 80 feet tall, 43 feet wide. The 12-ton tree is set to arrive at Rockefeller Plaza early Saturday morning.
Don't miss out on the Triangle's newest walk-through holiday light events. More than 13,000 lights covering 4 miles will transform the stands at the DBAP into a fantastic light show. You can grab a tube and hit one of the frosty Fun Hill slopes, or hop aboard the Bulls Express and travel around the outfield in style. It all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. To purchase tickets, you can visit DurhamBulls.com. Woolly Bulls Winter Wonderland. Cannot wait for that to get started.
Yeah, so excited to see all these holiday events getting ramped up, right? It doesn't feel like the holidays, but tomorrow will start to feel a little more seasonal. Meanwhile, we will enjoy the 80s once more, Elizabeth.
Soak it in while you can. Lots of folks out there at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club enjoying this beautiful weather. Gorgeous, clear skies. We do have a little bit of high, thin cloud cover out there, but it feels wonderful. Temperature 77 in the Triangle. Our dew point's 57. That means it feels very comfortable. Obviously, this time of year, there's hardly ever any humidity. Our temperature climbs to 83 degrees. If we hit that 83, like we talked about, we'll end up tying the record. It is 75 in Southern Pines, 78 in Clinton, 73 in Rocky Mount, 77 in Roxborough. So temperatures are fairly uniform in the mid to upper 70s right now, and easily that 83 is within reach. 83 in Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville for our potential highs this afternoon. And again, possible records, as we talked about that 83, the previous record set back in 2005 at RDU, and in Fayetteville, 85 set back in 1915. So either one of those could end up dropping. Here's what happens next. We're going to jump on ahead to tomorrow morning. It's going to feel mild tomorrow morning. This morning, we were mainly in the mid-50s. It'll be even warmer than that. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., temperatures will be in the mid-50s to low 60s. But that's as warm as it's going to be all day. I don't think temperatures will drop a whole lot. As a matter of fact, we'll probably climb on up to nearly 70 in Fayetteville and Clinton. But we will hold it in the 50s up in the north. And around the Triangle, we're just going to hold it right around 60 degrees. Here's lunchtime. We have this band of rain, this tiny little band of rain that comes sliding through with a quick sprinkle for most of us. But it's going to be in and out, and that's about it. So this is not going to really measure much in the rain gauges. By the time we get to 6 o'clock tomorrow, looking at temperatures in the mid-50s in the Triangle and some low 60s down south, and then temperatures could drop on up on down into the 40s by Saturday morning. This version of Futurecast wants to kick those clouds right on out of here. I'm not sure that it's going to happen that quickly. I would expect it to be mainly cloudy for us on Saturday, and there could be a few light showers down to the south. Temperatures on Saturday should climb up to around 60 for highs in the middle of the afternoon. And then on Sunday, we have the potential for some scattered showers. We'll take a look again, watching this front slip through here this evening with that chance of just a little bit of light rain on Friday. Saturday stays dry for us, but watch down here. We start to see a low developing along that front, and that lifts northward. And so we could be seeing some rain on Sunday by 8 a.m. from Raleigh southward. Right now, it looks like most of that rain would stay in our southern counties, but potentially including Wake County and Raleigh. That may be for much of the day, and then that slides off and makes way for some drier conditions for next week. Football Friday should be dry. Again, for Friday, we just have that little band of rain that'll move through, so we should be looking good. Temperatures at game time around mid-50s and just dropping maybe a couple of degrees during game time. So what to expect over the weekend? We'll see a high tomorrow of 63. It'll be mostly cloudy with a quick shower in the afternoon. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 60 for the high, but dry. And then Sunday, our southern counties could see a few isolated showers. It'll be cooler with temperatures in the low to mid-50s for highs. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we do climb back into the mid-60s. And, of course, we're looking at that potential for showers on Sunday. Coming up, we're going to go over how much rain we could see Sunday, and we'll talk more about that drought monitor that worsened this week.
Elizabeth, thanks. And speaking of drought, burn bans remain in effect for much of the state. More than half of North Carolina's counties are experiencing drought conditions, including parts of our viewing area. Coming up on our news at 4, how the drought can impact your day-to-day.
Well, the hemp company prepares to open up shop in Lewisburg. Ahead at 5, a look inside their facility and what they plan to produce.
Beautiful blue sky over North Hills. What a gorgeous afternoon it will be as we get into the lower 80s. We could tie a record today. We'll see, but go out and enjoy the day before the temperatures change. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
You can get a free chicken sandwich today. We'll tell you how. And Amazon has a new perk for Prime members. Those are among today's business headlines with Sabil Marcellus.
Amazon will offer Prime members a discount on a subscription to One Medical. The retail giant recently bought the primary care service provider, and it offers both virtual health care and also operates clinics in some cities. Prime members will get access to 24/7 virtual health services, like video chats with licensed providers, and they will also be able to visit clinics. The usual cost of a One Medical subscription is $199 a year. Amazon will offer it to Prime members for $99. Spotify has a new perk for its premium subscribers, audiobooks. The music streaming giant is giving premium subscribers access to more than 200,000 audiobooks. Subscribers will get 15 hours a month to listen to those books. Now, Spotify Premium will offer 70% of the bestsellers from major and independent publishers that are out there. The catalog will include everything from classics and literature to selections of pop music. Plenty of deals today for National Fried Chicken Sandwich Day at Burger King. You can get a free Royal Crispy Chicken Sandwich with an order of $5 or more. You'll have to be a member of Burger King's loyalty program, but then you get to place the order through the app or website. And Popeyes is offering a free chicken sandwich when you purchase any chicken sandwich combo that will also need to be ordered online or via the app. And it's good until this Sunday, November 12th. Those are your business headlines. I'm Sabil Marcellus at the NASDAQ MarketSite.
Airbnb is updating its review and ratings page after complaints about some homes not meeting guest expectations. Users will now see more information about reviewers to help them get a better sense of what to expect. This will include where a past guest calls home, how long they stayed, and with whom they are traveling. Airbnb is also rolling out a new section called Guest Favorites, which is where users can find homes receiving great ratings and reviews.
A new Barbie honors the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. Wilma Mankiller is part of the brand's Inspiring Women series. She's remembered for her work to improve health care and housing for the Cherokee Nation. Mattel says it worked with her estate as well as tribal representatives to create the doll. Mankiller received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1998. She died of cancer in 2010. You don't have to be a Harry Potter fan to recognize the train route taken by the Hogwarts Express across the Scottish countryside. Now, ScotRail is looking for trainee drivers who will likely cross the Glenfinnan Viaduct, which is featured in Harry Potter frequently. The line also includes several other famous natural landmarks. Training can take up to 2 years to complete. It includes practical and theoretical instruction, as well as time spent in train simulators. Starting pay is just over $40,000 with steady increases.
Next at noon, the pressure is intensifying against Hunter Biden. After the break, the deadline Republicans have set for the president's son to testify and from whom they also want to hear.
Plus, the Great American Smokeout is less than a week away. The event designed to encourage people to quit smoking. Coming up, a look at the health and financial benefits of kicking the habit. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers from the Carolina Pick 3, Pick 4, and Cash 5.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The House investigation into Hunter Biden is picking up steam.
Republicans are demanding that the president's son testify by mid-December. Griff Jenkins tells us who else the committee wants to talk to.
Now that the dust has settled on Capitol Hill after the scramble for a speaker, House Republicans are ramping up their investigation into the Bidens.
The money has flowed all the way to the Biden family.
House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer announcing Wednesday that he subpoenaed Hunter Biden, the president's brother, James Biden, and associate Rob Walker. Hunter's lawyer telling Fox News, quote, this is yet another political stunt aimed at distracting from the glaring failure of Representative Comer and his MAGA allies to prove a single one of their wild and now discredited conspiracies about the Biden family.
After 9 months, they didn't produce any evidence of a crime.
Comer's move could be a step in House Republicans' push to try to press impeachment charges against the president. And they are leaving no stone unturned. The committee also asking other members of the Biden family, including Beau Biden's widow, Hallie Biden, to talk. But those requests are voluntary.
Arguably, she could incriminate him. I suspect that she and others in the Biden family will resist these requests for their testimony.
As Griff Jenkins reporting, in a totally separate case, the president's son sued the former CEO of Overstock.com, claiming the executive falsely accused him of corrupt dealings with Iran.
A woman faces charges after leading state troopers on a chase around 1 a.m. in Raleigh. WRL's Brett Neese is in the WRL Breaking News Tracker with how this ended in a crash at a gas station.
A vehicle registration violation. That's the reason this all began. That's why troopers initially pulled this woman over. Take a look. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker of where this chase ended at that gas station off South Saunders and Iliagnus Road. It's just a little over a mile from where they initially pulled her over. You can see she crashed her car into one of the gas pumps there. Troopers tell me that that car is not a stolen vehicle. You can see there is plenty of damage that was done to it. Multiple troopers' vehicles were also damaged because they used pit maneuvers to slow this woman down during this chase. She was arrested after that crash, taken to the hospital to be treated for minor injuries. Now she faces several charges from all of this, one including a drug DUI charge. I'm working to learn who she is. I'll keep you updated. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WRL News.
We're waiting to learn if any new charges will be filed in a collision involving a minivan and a pickup truck. It happened around 8 yesterday morning at the intersection of Smith Road between Clayton and Four Oaks in Johnson County. The Highway Patrol says a 17-year-old driver crossed the center line, hitting a minivan. A mother and three children were in the minivan, but no one was wearing a seatbelt. One of the children was thrown from the van and is in serious condition. The mother and two other children were also hurt.
How about this statistic? More than 10 times as many Americans have died prematurely from smoking cigarettes than have died in all the wars fought by the United States. Kicking the habit is not only good for your health, but it's also good for your wallet. Jackie Ibanez takes a closer look.
Cigarette smoking is a leading cause of preventable death, according to the CDC, resulting in more than 480,000 deaths in the U.S. every year. And while the latest CDC data reveals cigarette smoking hit historic lows last year, with one in nine adults, about 11%, reporting they were current smokers. Medical experts say it's not too late for those who have yet to quit to save their lungs.
Someone who quits smoking within 15 years reduces their risk of lung cancer by 50% or more compared to someone who kept on smoking.
Smokers can also start reaping a number of other health benefits soon after they abandon the vice.
Within 1 to 9 months of quitting smoking, people see increased improvement in their lung functions. And that translates to your stamina, translates to just your the use of your respiratory system. Within 1 year of quitting smoking, you reduce your risk of coronary artery disease.
The reduced risks mean former smokers may have fewer doctor visits because of their improving health, resulting in less money being spent on medical care, especially when smokers pay higher insurance premiums. But that's not all.
If, on the average, you spend about $7 a day to buy cigarettes and you quit smoking, in a year you're going to save maybe almost $3,000. That's huge.
Quitting can be hard, but besides free online services and guides, there is medication and behavioral therapy options as well.
There's Jackie Ibanez reporting. November 16th is the day for the Great American Smokeout, an annual event by the American Cancer Society that encourages people to get the support and help they need to quit.
A Raleigh restaurant is up for a special honor, and you can vote to get them the win. A Place at the Table is nominated for the Good Neighbor of the Year Award on The Kelly Clarkson Show. They were featured on the show Tuesday. You may remember the restaurant's owner, Maggie Kane, appeared on the show earlier this year. Prices for meals at A Place at the Table are pay what you are able. So anyone is welcome to dine there and pay what they can. Donate, volunteer, or pay it forward. Voting is happening on The Kelly Clarkson Show's Instagram story, and it will be open through tomorrow. Partners sleeping in separate beds. Why some experts say a sleep divorce may be necessary to save your relationship.
And we'll take you to California, where a first-of-its-kind facility will help active duty and veteran Navy SEALs heal physically and mentally from combat. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
We want to check back in on that downtown Raleigh protest that's happening right now. It started in Moore Square and is now on the move.
Yeah, Laura Leslie is down there. It started this morning. It has grown. There's folks showing up there. Police are showing up there as well. Laura, give us the update. What are you seeing there?
Jeff, big police presence. We're here at the corner of Martin Street and Fayetteville Street in downtown Raleigh. Photojournalist Josie Zimmer and I have been chasing the folks around town. They first went to Moore Square. They walked down to Fayetteville Street and protested on the courthouse steps, the old courthouse, Wake County. And they're now in front of the postal station that you can see there, the old post office. They do say that some of them are planning to be arrested, so we're not sure what that action is going to look like. But in the meantime, you know, we've got this block is pretty much closed off. You can see lots and lots of police presence here, and we have no sense of how long this may go on. Jeff?
All right, Laura Leslie, live down there around Fayetteville Street in downtown Raleigh. We'll continue to keep an eye on that situation as it has grown. Thank you, Laura.
U.S. airlines are adding more trips to their schedules to meet the winter travel demand. United Airlines says it will nearly double its seat availability on flights from some of its hub airports. American Airlines plans to increase capacity for Florida flights, and it's also planning more flights to international destinations. Delta is also adding more seats for Latin America and Caribbean flights.
When it comes to adulting, the struggle is real, and a new poll finds Gen Z and millennials are having a tougher time keeping up with their parents' milestones. CNBC surveyed more than 1,000 18 to 34-year-olds. Many see their lives as different than what their parents went through, and the poll shows 55% of the respondents say it's much harder to buy a home, 44% say it's tougher to get hired.
A famous painting by Pablo Picasso brought in a popular painting that sells for a pretty penny. Femme a la Montre is a portrait of Picasso's great muse. The work of art was created in 1932 when the painter was 50 years old. And it remained on the auction block for 4 minutes as three collectors from around the world fought to establish control. An anonymous buyer's winning bid was $121 million before taxes and fees. So the grand total paid out more than $139 million. Old laptops present new opportunities thanks to a local organization. After the break, we'll talk to one of the people behind an initiative that is presenting veterans with computers at no cost.
Plus, a revolutionary facility is now open for active duty Navy SEALs and veterans. The big names who helped open this Navy SEAL Foundation in California. Access to technology is critical in today's society. A local nonprofit hopes to provide technology to those in need. And this week, HubZone is holding a laptop drive for veterans. Joining us to talk about an exciting project, Matt Rado, Executive Director of HubZone Technology Initiative. Matt, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about this and our viewers a little bit about HubZone.
So what we do is we take old laptops, we convert them to Google Chromebooks, and we give them out to those in need and around the triangle. And with the, you know, our goal is to kind of shrink that digital divide that we have in this country to, you know, have more of an even playing field.
Back when the light bulb went off and the idea was just generating, what was the inspiration behind doing this?
I actually have a for-profit cybersecurity company, and I wanted a way to really give back. We started in 2019, right before the pandemic, and boy, did we see a real need in laptops. And so we're continuing to try to find sources of laptops. We love, you know, the personal donations. We're trying to get some corporate sponsors on board so that we can really give them, you know, good laptops out to those people that need them.
And you have some partners that you work with. It's hard to do things like this alone, but that's necessary to keep this project moving forward. Tell us about your partners.
Sure. A lot of times we work with other nonprofits, Raleigh Rescue Mission, Jobs for Life. We're working with the veteran centers this particular week. We have 8 different locations that people can donate their laptops to, their old laptops that are sitting in a closet or something that we all know we have. And hey, let's get it to the people that really need them. So we're having the laptop drive for the next, I guess, 3 days. All the locations are on our website. And then we'll also, obviously, after the laptop drive, we'll be willing to take whatever you have.
Give us an idea how many you've been able to present, how many laptops have gotten out there.
Over the last few years, we've had just about 1,000. So it's been for just the Veterans Day portion. This is our third year of doing this drive, and we're just shy of 100. So we have a lot of momentum going. We've got some sponsors and some, you know, it just takes a while to get the word out about what we're doing. Again, so many people have these laptops. They don't know what to do with them because they got the new bright and shiny laptop. But, you know, there are people that can really do a lot with kind of your you know, 3 or 4 year old laptop. It's so hopefully we'll all consider donating to somebody that could really use it.
Well, the timing is perfect. You brought it up for veterans, the focus this week. How can veterans get one of the laptops?
Yeah, you could reach out to on our website. We are also partnered, we want to make sure I have it right, the Veterans Life Center. That's where a lot of our laptops will go through. But, you know, just going to our website, hubzonetech.org is where you can go and fill out a form, and we'll either give it to you directly, or we'll work with one of our partners to make sure that you get one that you qualify for.
And a great way for the public to reuse what they have out there and help somebody out with that. Matt Rado, thank you so much, and continued success. Great initiative.
Hey, glad to be here. I appreciate it.
Renee?
Laptops for Veterans. What a great way to say thank you to those who've served. Another incredible resource for veterans over on the West Coast, a new state-of-the-art facility aims to help veterans, active duty service members, and their families transition from combat. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle attended the opening of the new Navy SEAL Foundation training facility in San Diego last night. They toured the facility and then joined a private roundtable discussion with active duty members, veterans, and their families, where they discuss the challenges they face on and off the battlefield. The lead development manager says the facility is a place to treat, recover, and train service members.
And it's not just physical, it's so much more than that. It's mental health, it's emotional health. It's bringing people back into community, teaching the right habits, starting with the basics like nutrition and sleep.
The new facility in San Diego is the first on the West Coast and just the second in the nation. Great to see so many resources dedicated to our veterans as we approach Veterans Day this weekend.
That is right. A lot of attention given to it. In the western part of our state, a lot of attention given to us sending resources over there for some of the wildfires happening there, and really the whole state in a trouble spot when it comes to our drought status. Right now, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center, we have some new numbers this noon.
The drought monitor comes out on Thursday mornings, and we did see some big changes in our viewing area, like we talked about at the beginning of the newscast. We have Moore County and Hope County that are now in severe drought. You take a look back across the western part of the state, and last week, a good chunk of western North Carolina was also under severe drought. So that continues. But upstate South Carolina now under extreme drought. And the reason that we look at that is if we're starting to see extreme drought here, certainly that could start to spread. Of course, this is the first week now that we are under severe drought. So it wouldn't be immediately that we would go under extreme drought. But, you know, we kind of watch what's happening around us. And hopefully we'll start to see our pattern changing and we'll see more rain. We do have a few chances, but nothing that really looks like it's going to really help to.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Knightdale police are investigating a murder that took the life of a young mother. It happened on Twain Town Drive. Neighbors told WRL they heard at least 10 gunshots, even from blocks away. The woman's husband says she leaves behind 3 children. Police have not made any arrests.
Right now, pro-Palestinian protesters are making their voices heard in downtown Raleigh. The rally is made up of various groups, including a pro-Palestinian group that calls itself Jewish Voice for Peace. They were the leaders of the protest that shut down Highway 147 in Durham last week.
processing stalled for over an hour at DMV locations statewide due to an online outage this morning. WRAL's 5 on Your Side confirmed the outage with the DMV officials, who say they are working to confirm what caused it. This is the second statewide outage in a week. A DMV spokesperson says all services were back online by 9 a.m.
More than a third of Americans opt for a sleep divorce, which means they sleep separately from their partner at night. A specialist in behavioral sleep medicine says some assume that there is something wrong with a couple's relationship if they sleep in separate beds, but that's not always the case. They could have different work schedules, or perhaps one of them snores and it's disruptive to the other. Another possibility is one person enjoys staying up late while their partners prefer to go to bed early.
If you're sleep deprived for any reason, if you're not getting enough sleep, your mental health is going to suffer. Your physical health is going to suffer. It's going to be that much harder to do things during the day.
If snoring is a big reason why you or and your partner sleep in separate beds, it is probably worth consulting a doctor. Snoring could be a sign of sleep apnea, which is when a person repeatedly starts and stops breathing while asleep.
Yeah, if you're sleep deprived, you're going to have an issue with your relationship. You got to figure out ways. I'm lucky my husband sleeps like a log, so when I get up, doesn't bother him at all. Our pet of the day comes from the SPCA of Wake County. Rico is a one-year-old neuter male dog weighing 12 pounds. He's a nervous little guy looking for some stability in life. If you think you could give Rico a chance, visit spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And get updates and breaking news anytime on our WRAL News app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.